as I was coming in today, and you just see all the saints of from all the different halls, it's a, you want to stop and talk to everyone. It's a joyful time. It's like a big family reunion. And we want to encourage the saints who are here, please stay for lunch so that we can have more personal fellowship. Saints, it's a marvelous thing that we could say that a local church has 65 years of history. That's really is the Lord's doing. You know, when the first the first slide that our brother showed from 1958 till today. Not many in this room were here at the very beginning. I surely was not. But the Lord, in his faithfulness, has carried the church on year by year, and through so many things. But I'd like to say something about before 1958. At the Lord's table, in our Lord's table meeting, we sang two hymns to the Father, well, actually three, but two of the hymns to the Father, number 39 in our hymn book. Uh-huh, higher, got it. Yeah, I got it. 39, and also number 41. Those two hymns were written by Sister Fanny Crosby. I think some of us know a little bit of the history. And this was a sister who was really used of the Lord in New York City. Right. In New York City. Firstly in upstate New York, but mostly she had a burden for New York City. And of course she ended up having some ministry in other parts of the country, but she had a great burden for Manhattan, And I remember that in our first Lord's Table meeting of hall number two, that was in 2003, in January 2003, we sang these two hymns. And I felt it was very meaningful that there have been many before us praying for the Lord's move in this metropolitan area. Actually, not just New York City, but the metropolitan area has a rich heritage, a rich Christian heritage. I won't get into that right now, but you could read that. I think we would appreciate that we are standing on the shoulders of many who have gone before us. And thank the Lord for the reality of the body of Christ. Dear saints, the body of Christ is a reality. And we are the beneficiaries of a great inheritance, of a great legacy in the body of Christ. Actually, just the hymns that we sing are part of this heritage and legacy. These are the experiences of saints that we don't even know who wrote what. But thank the Lord, in the kingdom, in New Jerusalem, maybe we'll have opportunity to have fellowship with such ones. These are those who had the experience of Christ, but not just for themselves, but for the body of Christ. And this was the message. Sorry, we don't have the time today to have the prophesying on this wonderful message that we have been enjoying all the verses from this week on. That message that we were in, which is message four of the past elders training, really is a development of one of our banners. That is, to me for you. Right. To me for you. Of course, it's in the context of love, because the body builds itself up in love. But saints, thank the Lord for his blessing on the church. But I hope that we would realize the factors of blessing. And our brother mentioned just now, one of the great factors is the matter of the oneness of the brothers before us, maintaining the oneness. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Be diligent to keep, which implies then you have. Actually, when we are regenerated in the Lord, when the life of Christ comes into us, that life is the life of the body of Christ. And we receive that oneness. We have that oneness. That's why when you're first saved, and it shouldn't be only when you're first saved, when you find out that this person's a Christian, there's a connection, there's a love. You don't care their background. You don't care their whether racial background or ethnic background. You don't care their Christian background. You just care a Christian, because we're in the same family. We're in the same family. And so we just need to what? Keep the oneness of the Spirit. Keep that oneness. And of course it says, be diligent to keep. And that's because the enemy, Satan, is always fighting against the building of the church. And for the building of the church, two key factors we need. Number one is oneness, and number two is love. Love. And that's why we're in these messages for this period of time. We need the oneness, and we need the love. And we have inherited this from the brothers who have gone before us. Oneness and love. And so we need to be diligent to be those who keep. Who keep. And, we sang this kind of transition song, 1263. I know some saints from other localities are wondering, how did we get a song like this into the hymn book? And so there's a church in New York City. If I was not someone not from New York City, I'd have something to say about this. Like, hey, how come? How did you guys do this? And I think in times past, I've given a little history, background of this hymn. There was a brother who moved here, actually in 1974, and he actually moved from another place. He didn't come into the church life here. He came into church life there, and then he moved here, and was only here for not quite two and a half years. And before he migrated, he was led of the Lord to actually migrate to the West Coast. Actually, at that time, many migrated to the West Coast, myself included. And as a kind of appreciation for the help that he received in the church life here, he wrote this hymn. And I really thank the Lord. I really thank the Lord. Again, saints, this is the body of Christ. Because I have to say, I have the same appreciation, but I don't have the same gift to write lyrics like this. And so whenever we sing this, there is a welling up of appreciation to the Lord for what he has done in this dark city, maybe the most sinful city on the whole earth, maybe the darkest city on the whole earth. But in this city, God has gained a testimony. And I'd like to read some of these lines. I hope when we sing this, we can have the proper appreciation. Please don't misunderstand. Not in any way of pride, but of appreciation to the Lord, that in the midst of such a dark place, the Lord can sow something incorruptible, and it can grow to bear the testimony of light as a lampstand. So it says here, there's a church in New York City standing on the local ground. There's a lampstand brightly beaming, shining out to millions round. We were raised from every nation every people, tribe, and tongue. This morning at the table, as we were singing, I knew we were going to sing this hymn, but that appreciation came to me. This is the book of Revelation, right? Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. There was a hymn, I don't know if this was the hymn, but I looked at, you know, we had up here listed on the right the different languages, what hymn number, and sorry, there was one hymn we didn't have French. So I don't know if anyone was singing in French today, but we do have French speakers here. We have Russian speakers. We have Korean speakers. We have Spanish speakers. We have so many of the languages. Thank the Lord that it is a reality that we are one in the body of Christ. Amen. The world today is greatly divided. We know this. This country is suffering this more than at any time. More than at any time in our recent history. Of course, we have to remember the times of the Civil War. That was terrible. But in our lifetime, the 60s were something. Some of us were living through that. And there was hope that we could, as a nation, ride through and overcome that. But you can't do that in Adam. There's no way. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. The body of Christ is actually the gospel that this nation needs. 2 says, in your midst, O New York City, little do you realize, fallen as a seed within you, midst corruption it shall rise, rising up in resurrection with an increase manyfold. Amen. Brother Dennis just testified when he came. Actually, quite a number of us had migrated away before he came. We were here together, but many of us migrated to the West Coast, to Boston, to Atlanta, and then the Lord just restocked the building, just brought in new ones, and has not stopped that. And then, thank the Lord, he brought many of us back. For the church, I want to highlight this. For the church in New York City, faithfully the saints have prayed against the church in New York City, how the devil is enraged. For behold, within the center of his kingdom dark and grim, God has gained a testimony, moving, fighting on for him. And we have witnessed how the devil is enraged in years past, in decades past. Some of us lived through some of those things. How the enemy would attack. But I tell you, I want to mention again, the factors of blessing, the oneness of the leading brothers, the oneness of the elders, became a protection to the church here. The love for one another. And then also the truth. Adhering to the truth in the scriptures. These were factors of oneness. These were factors of blessing. And then one other is the prayers of the saints. Prayers here, and actually prayers in so many places. So many places. So when we have a period of blessing, we should never become complacent. We should never become proud. We should never become passive. We should always realize there are reasons that one receives blessing. And the Lord shows us. So we have to be diligent to keep the oneness. And diligent to exercise the love. Diligent to know the truth. And diligent to always pray. Yeah. And so this leads us, saints, and the burden, the main burden that we have this morning is to present to you the leadings for this year. That is what we're calling the banners. Our brothers presented the banners from 2015. We've had this kind of leading to present something to the church as a kind of direction. And in verse five of this hymn, it says, "There's a church in New York City, honoring the risen Christ, caring for the other churches, following in truth and life." And so the church here is not isolated. This is not the body of Christ. We are expressing the body of Christ, but we're one with all the churches on the whole earth. However, in the book of Revelation, if we know in chapters 2 and 3, there are 7 epistles, and the Lord speaks something to each of the 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3. Of course, Ephesus and Smyrna and so on, on to Philadelphia and Laodicea, 7 churches. Now, eventually, each epistle says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So what is spoken to one church should be for all the churches, right? However, to the church in Ephesus, the Lord spoke certain things, which addressed primarily the situation in that local church, in that church. Now again, eventually, what was spoken to Ephesus benefited all, or should benefit all the churches. That's the body. However, what was spoken to Thyatira initially was not spoken to Pergamos. Do you understand? Each church, there was something specific. And the epistles, many of the epistles are written to local churches, like the church in Rome, the church in Colossae, the church in Thessalonica. So there was a situation, and the Lord spoke to that church. And in the same way, we have felt in these years that, yes, we are in the body of Christ. We honor all the churches. However, the Lord every now and then has a word just for us. Just for us. Now, yes, eventually that word should benefit all the churches. And so we'd like to present to you three words. Actually, I already mentioned them all. But we're going to focus on these, and for this year. And so these three words, I'm going to make them phrases, right? But I want to tell you ahead of time the three words. The first word is truth. Truth. The second word is prayer. And the third word is love. So, do we have the verses, brothers? Let's read these. I think we have 3 portions. And the 3 portions apply to these 3 words. Let's read 1 Timothy 3:15. This is related to truth. Let's read together the verse. 1 Timothy 3:15. Go. So we'll come back to this point that the church is the pillar of the truth. The church is the pillar of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:1. This is related to the matter of prayer. I exhort, therefore, amen. So we're going to talk about the prayer ministry of the church. And finally, love. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Let's read together. Amen. Truth. A few years ago, we did have a banner on truth. That was truth pursuing. Pursuing the truth. And I do know that many saints among us love the Word and pursue the Word, are in the Word. But we want to advance a little. And it's our great burden that we could have this reality, that the church is the pillar and base of the truth. You know, a pillar, something strong, right? Something standing. Something that can hold, has the strength to hold something up. And so our burden is not just this year pursuing the truth, but being constituted with the truth. That all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we would be constituted with the truth. You know, we asked for all the middle schoolers to remain in this meeting. There was fellowship. Should we bring the young people, or should they go have their separate meeting? But we decided, no. We need all the middle schoolers here. We need all the high schoolers here. From the youngest to the oldest, we all need to be what? Sanctified in the truth. And eventually constituted with the truth. Saints, we are living in an increasingly dark age. An increasingly dark age. And I think our young people, particularly our middle schoolers, even our children, elementary school. But here we have middle schoolers, so I'll address them. Middle school, high school. Saints, I think maybe they face the darkness directly more than the rest of us. They need to be equipped themselves. We can't be with them to protect them. But as parents and as serving ones helping, we need to do our best to equip them with the truth. This doesn't just mean we read your Bible. You know, we tell the kids, read your Bible. Not just this. We have to do our best to bring them into an experiential knowledge of the truth. This is actually the underlying burden of what we call the summer school of the truth. Brother Sam later, or the brothers, will give you the announcement for all the events coming up. I'm going to tell you one of them. I think it's June 3rd. We're having our teachers training in preparation for, on a Saturday, up at Camp Penuel, to get ready for our truth school. Saints, parents, even you can't participate in the truth school, I just want to encourage you. How about join us for the training? Amen. To get into the Word together. And not only get into the Word, we also study, we also consider how to present the Word in a way that an 11 or 12-year-old can receive the reality of God through the speaking of the Bible. Sometimes we emphasize this. We have to be careful. We have to avoid premature knowledge. And this is true. This is true. You know, in our true schools, we teach about the triune God. We teach about justification. We teach about reconciliation. We teach about the church in its many aspects. Oh, when we first started, some of the parents were a little taken aback, like, oh, you told us before, avoid premature knowledge, but aren't these things too deep for them? Well, I would say it all depends on how we present it. The same truth we can present to an 11-year-old in one manner that they can enter in. And then we can present this to a university student, even a graduate student, in another way that they enter in. So, saints, we need to learn how to handle the truth. How to handle the truth. But our burden actually is this. I want to write this word down so you all catch it. Truth, constitution. Truth, constitution. That is, that the Word of God, by firstly our contacting the Word, whether by reading, by praying, or by studying, and I want to talk about these three ways. However we touch the Word, we first enjoy the Word. The Word is our food supply. right? But we know that even in the physical realm, the food that we eat eventually becomes our what? Constitution. It begins with enjoyment, but the result, the final goal is constitution. We need constitution. And saints, I say again, to face this age, we all need to be constituted with the truth. Because this age can be described with this verse. It's Isaiah 5:20. I'd like to read Isaiah 5:20. Listen to this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And in today's generation, these are the things being presented to our young people. What is bitter, they're calling sweet. And forcing our children to call it sweet. Our children need to know what is the truth. That is darkness. But they say it's light. Well, if you're constituted with the Word of God, you just know what is light. And when people say something contrary to the Word of God, you just know. And of course, this is not to stir trouble and to raise up, you know, have a revolution. This is for preservation. And then for expression. To be God's testimony. To be God's testimony. And our 11 and 12 year old brothers and sisters can be God's testimony in their schools. They can be the seeds of the gospel there. I don't mean, you know, I think people may not even understand this analogy these days, but we talk about the soapbox, soapbox preacher, where you have a, you know, at the corner. Actually, we see this in Manhattan sometimes. Try to put a little stand and it's preaching. No, that's not what we're talking about. To have our young people to be in that way. But I tell you, if our young people are constituted with the Word of God, they will shine. They will shine as luminaries in the world in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. Amen. Their living will be their gospel. And people will be drawn to them. Something in the God-created humanity of their schoolmates will be drawn to the uplifted humanity of our teenagers, of our college students. But for that to happen, young brothers and sisters, you need to touch the Bible yourself. And so usually we mention at least these three ways. There's many ways to enjoy the Word of God. But at the very least, it's to pray over God's Word in the morning with one or two verses. Of course, we supply the church with verses for morning watch, morning revival, the young people's meeting. I think they try to supply a verse or two. Oh, dear young people, it's not a small thing to touch the Word of God. But I want to add this. In reality, not just as a form, not just as a routine, but I am going to say this. Whether routine or not, do it. Whether it's dry or not, just do it. Because suppose every morning you read those two verses from Lord's Day through Saturday, or from Monday through Lord's Day. And you feel, oh, it's a little dry. Oh, I'm not getting much. Oh, I tell you, if just one time that week you have some enjoyment of the Lord touches you about, oh, I shouldn't have said that to my mommy. You get a little light, you confess a sin. Or the Lord just encourages you with his love, like the verses from from this week. Oh, you know, one thing, it was Ephesians 3. We had Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, one day. And I just enjoyed this little phrase, with power through his Spirit. You know, I almost always gravitate to verse 17, which is that Christ make his home in your heart. But I really enjoy with power. And I started considering, oh, what, Lord, strengthen me with power. And then I thought, what power is this? Oh, power in Ephesians. And now, I'm not expecting the teenage, the 11th graders to, I mean, sorry, the 11-year-olds to think this way. Okay, I've studied Ephesians a few times, so I have a little background. So I want to say, oh, with power, the Lord reminded me, what power? The power in chapter 1. The power that raised Christ from the dead. The power that caused him to ascend. The power that subjected all things under his feet. And then I realized, oh, Lord, strengthen me with that power. Oh, I got so, you know, there are times when you're having your little time with the Lord, you feel like, oh, I want to tell somebody. You just want to overflow right there. But anyway, I calmed down again, and I was just, Lord, thank you. Wow. Now, I don't have wow every day. Do you have wow every day? Maybe you do. I doubt it, though. But young people, sometimes you think you're the only one that doesn't have wow every day. I don't want you to think that way. Because Aaron, do you have wow every day? No, not every day. And most of us don't. But if one day a week you feel like, oh, you taste the Lord a little bit, oh, that's precious. But I want to tell you, if you wouldn't do that 7 days a week, and I'm gonna say this on purpose, religiously, you may not get that taste that one day. So you better do it religiously. Day after day, be in the Word of God. Touch the Word. So anyway, that's just enjoyment. That's taste. And nourishment. We need nourishment. We need to be strengthened. But dear saints, there's more. And another way is just to read the Bible chapter by chapter. And we've said this in many occasions, especially to the young people and the new ones. We've mentioned, if you read the Bible four chapters a day, you will finish in less than 1 year. And there's even time for make up days that you miss, because we all miss, right? You go and you miss a day or two. Don't worry. You pick up four chapters. Don't try to do eight chapters the next day. Just do four that day, and you'll still finish in less than a year. Okay. That seems like, too much. That's okay. How about one chapter in the Old Testament? One chapter in the New. You'll finish in what? 2 years. You say, oh, I don't know if I have the time. Well, you actually do, but if you want to go that way, I'll tell you, one chapter a day. Do you know, it'd be marvelous if an 11-year-old, one of our sixth graders, would start to read one chapter a day. By the time they're in what? Ninth grade, 10th grade. They finished the whole Bible. That's amazing. You will be sanctified. And you will be on the road to be constituted. You're really not constituted yet, but you're on the road. And then, if you're on the fast track with four chapters, don't say, oh, done, that's great. No, read it again. Yeah. I'm not going to ask here, but we have saints here among us who have read the Bible probably more than 20, 30 times. Maybe our dear sister Josephine. Many of us remember Grandma Josephine. Do anyone know how many times? Do you know a number? But she every time I would visit her at Dunton House, she's reading again and over and over. Oh. Every 3 months. She would read the New Testament every 3 months. That's our legacy. That's a pattern. That's our pattern, saints. That's our pattern. Someone that didn't speak much in the meetings, no. But when you contact such a person, Christ just flows. Christ just flows in shepherding love and care. touch the word. Touch the word. And a third way, and this is actually some brothers will talk about this a little later, is to study the word. To study the word. To go a little deeper. To take a book of the Bible and to pray over and to study that chapter, that book, in the context even of the whole Bible. And for this, we have to say the life study messages are a great help in this regard, as are the, if you have the recovery version of the Bible, the notes in the recovery version of the Bible. And so we would like to encourage a stronger pursuing of the word among us. Now, the saints are already pursuing. We recognize that. But we'd like to encourage a stronger and more widespread pursuing that will lead to constitution. So, brothers, we'll talk a little bit about this. We would like to encourage the saints, whoever would like, to study the book of Romans together. And we have a little plan. The brothers will present that. At a kind of pace that matches the life study of the book of Romans, which is 69 messages. But will only be the pace of 2 messages a week, something like this. And we study and in our group times, and not just the group, in our family times. We were talking about this, Deuteronomy 6. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, it says that the parents, we as parents, should speak the word of God to our children. And we should speak when we're sitting down, when we're rising up, that is like waking up, lying down, when we're sitting down, like around the table, when we're walking on the way, on a trip. There should be conversations about the word of God. Oh, as we brothers were considering this, we thought, oh, how about if our middle schoolers and high schoolers would be reading the book of Romans and then maybe reading even just one message a week? Just one message. Because, you know, we're at different levels, so that's okay. And then once a week at the table, as part of their dinner, they would just talk about what they got from the book of Romans. Wouldn't that be marvelous? If your daughter would say, Mommy, I was touched that Romans says we're not ashamed of the gospel, but I still feel ashamed of the gospel. What should I do? Wouldn't that be a wonderful dinner conversation? Oh, brothers and sisters, we want the word to infiltrate and saturate our homes and even our conversations. But toward this, truth, constitution. Truth, constitution. That the word of God would just become us and then be expressed through us. You know, in Corinthians 14, when it talks about all can prophesy, this example is given that when one comes into your meeting, they will fall down and say, truly God is among you. How does that happen? That's when the word of God is constituted into the members of the body, and the members are speaking the word. And God is expressed as light to these people, and they repent. God is here. So you go to a meeting, but you don't meet the people. You meet God. That's what we want for every district, every hall, every group meeting, every home meeting, that the word would be so constituted in all the members that all the new ones would just get the ministry of God. So the first point, truth, constitution. Okay, number 2, not just prayer, but prayer ministry. Actually, the point really is the prayer ministry of the church. And we know most all the saints pray, and even in the groups, they pray. Couples pray. Companions pray. We have prayers in groups of 2s and 3s. And then we have the church prayer meetings. in the halls and many not in the halls. I don't even know how many prayer groups we have on Tuesday, starting with the sisters in the morning, with the leading brothers, and then through the day. We have quite a number of prayer meetings. But saints, again, at the close of this age, as the darkness becomes more intensified, the church must rise up to pray. Kingdom prayers. Prayers in ascension. Prayers of binding and loosing. You know, we didn't have that projected here, but Matthew 16, many of us are familiar with Matthew 16. This is where the Lord for the first time presents the church, right? I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So this shows when the Lord is building the church, always there is the contesting of the gates of Hades. And we've witnessed this. We've witnessed this for decades. But the promise is the gates of Hades will not prevail. Thank the Lord for this. But the very next verse is about prayer. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heavens. Whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. So, in the coming weeks and months, we would like to have fellowship with all of you. I might use this word, to upgrade our prayer. To upgrade our prayer. That we, especially in the church prayer meetings, we would be binding and loosing and praying the kingdom prayers. So we would ask you to pray for this. Let us pray for our prayer. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 6, that we should pray for our prayer. Prayers of petition, right? Specific prayers. What we have here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort there, first of all, that petitions, that is some specific prayers concerning events or persons. Prayers, intercessions. You know, an intercession is to pray on behalf of someone. Actually, if you study that word, it even implies you interfere. You interfere in their affairs for their benefit. Now, this doesn't mean you should interfere. Don't be in people's business. But maybe you invite someone to a gospel meeting and they say, oh, sorry, I can't go because I'm going to a party that night. So we can pray, Lord, break up that party. Lord, come in and turn something around in that person's life. And then at work on Friday afternoon, you said, oh, so you're going to your party, huh? Oh, no, you know, the guy got sick. He had to cancel. I said, oh, you know, we're still having that event. You can come. Oh, sure, I'll go. Praise the Lord. You can interfere in others' affairs. But it has to be for their benefit, okay? Don't just interfere in others' affairs. Pray God's will to people's lives. Intercessions and, don't forget, thanksgivings. Our prayers should be saturated with thanksgivings. Sometimes when we pray, because we take our eyes off of the Lord and look at the situation, our prayers are not with thanksgiving. We forget to give thanks. Don't forget to give thanks. Sometimes, I've even been in meetings where we're praying for something. Oh, the meeting is quite strong. And then someone who is one of the saints passing through some tribulation, and then we start to pray, and the prayer is so sympathetic that it becomes discouraging. And say, oh, Lord, you know this one. Oh, their sufferings. And actually, we forget to give thanks. Lord, this one is in your hand. Thank you for your faithfulness. We trust you for your economy to be accomplished in this situation. We can even say, Lord, we don't know what you're doing, but we trust you. Strengthen our sister. Strengthen her family. Touch her body. We could pray prayers like this, but it's different when you give thanks. It changes our outlook. So anyway, saints, we just feel we need more fellowship even on our prayer. And then finally, love. And actually, I won't take the time to write the full phrase because the phrase is kind of the title to the training for the brothers that we're going over. That is loving the Lord and loving one another for the organic building up of the body of Christ. That's our burden. We need the love. But saints, I tell you, the prayer, I believe, will issue in the love. The prayer will strengthen the love. As we're praying, the Lord will bring to mind this one, that one, different ones. I pray that prayer will move us. Will move us. Not only move the Lord's hand, but move us to visit, to contact, to call, to invite, to write in some way. And then through especially prayer and love, all of the banners from the previous years, the Lord will continue to operate. Thank the Lord for his leading of his church. So saints, please pray for these burdens. Pray for the Lord taking his church on. The brothers will continue.
Saints, we sing the song, there's a church in New York City. Praise the Lord for his testimony in New York City. And there's a one sentence, care for the other churches. So I'm in the church in Albany. So thank the Lord that we all are here for the Lord's testimony, but we are in his body. We are one with him for his purpose. I just want to follow our brother concerning the burden of this coming year, this year, concerning that we need to be constituted with the truth. So our brother mentioned that we were on truth pursuing, but the Lord is advancing. He wants us to be constituted with the truth. For constitution, we recently had a training on the First and Second Chronicles, and also the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And that shows that God wants his people not only return to build the temple and build the city and the wall of the city, but also they want them to be constituted with the word. So the people return to Jerusalem. They did the building, the temple, the city, the wall, but they themselves are still Babylonian constitution. So there is a need of education. There's the need of their perfection. There's the need of Ezra to come in to reconstitute people of God so that God's people may bear his testimony. So I feel very much the Lord is leading us according to his training in these books that we need to spend time in the Word. To be constituted, it takes time, just like our brother mentioned. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to read the Word every day. So may the Lord cause us to have the love of the truth, so he may gain the church as the pillar and base of the truth. So thank the Lord for his burden for this year, that we can love the truth and pursue the truth individually and corporately. So thank the Lord such a burden that encourage all of us to participate, that the Lord may gain his church as the pillar and base of the truth. So I just want to add a little bit concerning the prayer and the love. I think it's very much the Lord's leading today, even this week. I mean, this past week, we read the verses in Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16, but holding to truth in love. So the emphasis is just what the Lord has given us for this year. So we need to hold the truth, not to let go, but continue day by day to enjoy the Lord's word, to enjoy the truth in love. So this love is not our love, but the divine love. So thank the Lord while we are spending time in the word with the Lord, he infused himself as love, to love the Lord and love the church loving Christ, so we can love the church and love the meetings and love the brothers. So thank the Lord. I feel the Lord is truly leading us, advancing in his burden, in his leading, even among the churches. I think, like our brother mentioned, we also need to have the prayer, the intercessor prayer, the petition prayer, and the regular, normal fellowship prayer. The prayer can carry out the Lord's desire. Prayer can cause all the matter of the truth become reality to us, can cause the love be infused into us, to be experienced by us. So prayer, especially intercessor prayer, even like our brother mentioned in Matthew, the prayer right after mentioned about the church, mentioned about the gates of Hades, we need to pray. So very much even in Ephesians, concerning holding to truth in love, in chapter 6, it touches the matter of prayer. And in the context, we see there's the enemy's attack, the sleight of man, and their craftiness, even try to damage our younger ones. So today, we need to exercise, to participate, to join our heavenly intercessor, Christ, in the prayer to cause his enemy to be bound, that the saints can be loosed, not to be held back, but to enjoy the word, enjoy the truth daily in the church life, in the church meetings. So thank the Lord for giving us such a burden to, for this whole year, that we can go on together. Amen.
This is the ninth year we have the banners, and we can all testify and being with, we are witnessing the progression the Lord has been leading us. And particularly after the truth has to have some effectiveness and carry out. We are very burdened for the prayer ministry of the church, because our fighting is not with flesh and blood. We're fighting some invisible yet so real, the darkness in this age. So since actually in the chapter 6 of Ephesians, we all know, I want to read this a few verses, not a delaying with any explanations, you will know. Finally, be empowered in the Lord. And our brother mentioned that power. There's a dynamo. It's really blowing open any hindrances, any blockages. And we pray that in our hearts, and no matter old and young, our hearts will be open to the Lord. And we are not condemning or criticizing any of the saints, but at different age groups, particularly the younger ages, you are facing unprecedented brainwashing unknowingly in this age. I was brainwashed when I was growing up in communist China, and I know what it feels like. I also know how much it took to really empty it out. And I also know how attractive the world is. And 9/11 totally wrecked my worldview and the value of this world. Saints, particularly our younger generation, we pray that you will be empowered. You will be empowered in the Lord. and in the might of his strength. Put on the whole armor of God. We know we're talking about in the body or individually. These days, without circling our wagons, without this firewall together, not a single one of us can face this age. Saints, the days of Noah and days of Lot already fully enmeshed and soaking us in. And our Lord warned us, remember the wife of Lot. Don't forget, her turning her head is not a daily, not that day, not that moment, because of that age, because of her leaving, because in those days, day by day, event after event, her heart was fully weighed down. Her heart was fully turned. So since we need to be in the church life, we need to be with one another. No matter it's in the church setting or small group meetings, home meetings, two, threes, we need to be together. Put on the armor of God. You may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. Don't forget, the devil knows God's economy probably better than you and I. And his strategies, he can use, because he has no morality. Okay, don't think about the enemy has a morality. The enemy use anything you can even not fathom in order to destroy the vessels of God, in order to accomplish his goal is to terminate children of God. And we don't have to go far. And we look at the sky, we look around, we know the enemy is operating. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. This is our brother explained very well. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded our loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod our feet with the firm foundation of the gospel of peace. Besides of all of this, having taken up the shield of faith. Saints, so this is where I think the truth, the prayer, and love, we need to apply everything to strengthen our faith. Since these days, there are so many isms, there are so many this and that. They are trying to distract us, trying to destroy, trying to replace our faith in our Lord. We have the word of love. Don't get fooled. Don't get even usurped or nullified by the so-called love is love. No, it's not. God is love. And this love is sanctified love. This love is not a fleshly love. This love is not love them no matter what they do, no matter what they say. These days, saints, don't be fooled by the generality of love. The church life, of course, is not welfare. We are not a society. Of course, we are called out of the society, from the world, to be sanctified. Saints, we need to exercise. I know particularly these days the education system is using all replacements. Those replacements can be very beautiful, can be justified. Saints, don't forget what's our goal. What's the goal of our God? It's not loving the world, because the Bible is very clear. He who loves the world, the love of God, love of the Father is not in him. Since we hope this truth constitution will become really a milestone for our church life, is we stand in the truth. We exercise a hold the truth in love, nothing but the Bible. We want to come back to Brother Nee's 1925, that unique phrase. The Bible is our only and unique standard. If it's not from the Bible, no matter who says what, who says amen, yes, we're not going to follow that. But if it's in the Bible, no matter who says no, we amen. Since we need to come back to the Bible, the truth constitution, the prayers, we need to adhere to the teaching in the Bible. Receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Word of God. By means of all prayers and petition, praying at every time in spirit and watching unto this, in all perseverance and a petition concerning all the saints. And for us, for the serving ones, for every one of us, saints, we need to pray for one another. Finally, peace to the brothers and the love with the faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility. This is the last word. This word was used last week. Incorruptible. These days, everything you see is corruptible. We need to focus on the incorruptible. Our Lord, our triune God, our faith, our hope, our divine love is incorruptible. His church, the body of Christ, the expression of the body of Christ in New York City is incorruptible. Saints, let's hold the truth in love and exercise to be sanctified, strengthened in the truth, and to love one another with unfeigned love. So may the Lord bless his church, bless his saints, and these years, decades, and we finished our 65 year on January 5th. We are entering into our 66th year as we're speaking. May the Lord, we are not saying, our local church will go on forever. But we pray that the local church in New York City will be part of the fulfillment of his purpose. And may the Lord bless his church and continue to lead us until the consummation of this age. Amen.
Well, Brother Aaron and I, we're going to share a little bit concerning this, just a few minutes, this matter of the truth constitution, especially how we might carry that out practically. And then also, we like to give two quick announcements regarding two events that are coming up, one with the young people and one with the young working saints and young families. So, you know, saints, this matter of the truth constitution, weren't you so impressed that the church is the pillar and base of the truth? Right. You know, I was impressed that the pillar and base, these things are things that are strong.
Amen.
And I think all of us can testify that when we have the truth, we are strong believers.
Amen.
And when the church is constituted with the truth, the church is also strong.
Amen.
Conversely, when we don't have the truth, oh, saints, our experience is it's very difficult for us to withstand anything.
Right.
So the truth makes, so what is the truth? The church is the pillar and base of the truth.
Amen.
Well, this coming year, as the brothers had mentioned, we like to get into the truth in a more disciplined and committed and perhaps in a more advanced way. And our brother talked about this this publication called The Life Study of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, The Life Study of the Bible is a book-by-book exposition of the Bible, but it's not a book-by-book exposition in the way of doctrinal study. It's called a life study. So when you get into the life studies, if you follow along the way we're going to carry out this burden, you will find that it doesn't focus, its primary focus is not the study of doctrine. Rather, its focus is to study the truth in the way to experience Christ as life. Amen. Give you an example. One of the verses that we are the most familiar with is Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. Now, you may study this portion of the word and you pick up the doctrine. Oh, the law of the Spirit of life can free me from the law of sin and of death. Mm-hmm. But then if we ask you, how are you practically freed in your daily life?
Right.
How can you be freed from sin? How can you be freed from death, which takes many, many forms in your life and in our corporate church life?
Right.
Oh, brothers and sisters, we find that we lack in our experience of Christ as life, in our experience of the truth. But when you get into the life study, you will receive the answers to your many, many questions, and will open up a new vista of experiencing Christ as life.
Amen.
And so now I'll hand it over to Brother Aaron, who will share more on this matter of the Constitution.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we have just an enormous treasure in the church life in the matter of the Word being opened up to us. You know, just even from my own experience over the last 15 years, been married for about 15 years, I can tell you there are very few problems in my life that I've been unable to solve by simply prayer reading a couple of verses and reading a life study message. The problems, they just tend to disappear. Well, that's on the personal side. On the other side, it's important to realize that the standard of our church life depends upon the standard of the truth by which we are constituted. If we have a high level of constitution of the truth in our church life will be very high.
Amen.
If our constitution of the truth is minimal, our church life will be very low. So as we come to this year, again, the brothers emphasize truth, constitution. And the very first step for the truth to be constituted into us is it must get into our mentality. And for it to get into our mentality, it's a day-by-day labor. It's commitment, it's dedication, and it's discipline. And those words are, I even asked Peter, can I use those words? Are they too much? They're kind of harsh, maybe harsh, strong, but it's so true. It's so true. The long-term constitution of the truth, it comes from a day-by-day, week-by-week labor that's committed and requires our discipline. So, but the wonderful thing is, we're going to be doing this together.
Amen.
It's not me alone. It's all of us doing it. In Friday night, we're going to be in Romans for the truth, the Crucial Truths Life Bible study. We're going to have assigned readings each week. And I just want to mention a couple things. As Brother Ricky said, if you fall behind, it's okay. Get back up. You know, Sir Winston Churchill has this quote that I really love. He says, the definition of success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. So we may miss a life study one week. Maybe we may miss the whole week. But instead of, oh, now it's overwhelming, I've got 8 messages to read. No, just pick it back up. And we're going on together. So I just end with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be therefore steadfast.
Amen.
And immovable.
Amen.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So for those of you who have been joining us on the Friday night Crucial Truths Bible study, which we've been doing over 84 weeks now, counting, get ready. We're going to get into the book of Romans in this way of labor. Okay, then saints, lastly, we'd like to end with two events we'd like to announce to you all that are coming up. The first is the citywide New York City Young People's Winter Retreat, which will take place at Camp Pennywell from February 19th to the 21st. That's a Lord's Day afternoon through Tuesday afternoon. I believe many of the young people and the families have signed up already, but we want to continue to encourage the young people as well as the parents of the young people. And even if you don't have young people as your children, even if you just have young children, you're also welcome to come. And young people, we also want to let you know that we actually created a 14-day reading plan for the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. You can finish reading three books of the Bible in 14 days.
Amen.
Ask your serving ones for more details. Amen. And you can also request songs to be added to the booklet for young people. So if you'd like to do that, also ask your serving ones. And then the last event we like to announce is, Saints, every year for twice, we have a Northeast Conference for the young working saints and young families. In this, we encourage not only the young working saints, but also the families with young children to join this conference for all the churches in the Northeast. Now, this conference for this spring will take place April 21st to 23rd. April 21st to the 23rd. So save the date, and we'll have more details coming for that conference.
Amen. I think that's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now we hand it to Brother Sam.